Hello, welcome to The Wire Podcast, a podcast that provides the best content about all things sports. I'm Ryan McCrary, and today I'm going to be talking about the 2024 NCAA Tournament. The tournament field has officially been released. I'm going to be going through the bracket. I'll talk about all of the games. I'll talk about some big upsets that I think might happen. I'll also talk about how you can win your bracket pool, and I'll discuss a few teams that I believe are legitimate national championship contenders. That's what we have on tap for today's episode. I hope you're excited. I know I am. And let's go ahead and dive right in. All right, let's go ahead and get started. I am so excited for this episode. March Madness is one of my favorite sporting events of the year, so I'm really excited about this. And over the last couple of years, every year for March Madness, I have gotten really into the brackets. And I think for the last two years, I've actually made a very simple statistical model that I'll use to kind of predict each game. And listen, it's not very complicated. It's not a very sophisticated model. But I have done that. And I think it's just really cool to have a tool to be able to go through the games and kind of pick each game with some level of knowledge somehow. So I've been able to do that. And so I've actually come up with two separate brackets. One bracket is titled an optimal bracket, and that is more of a chalky bracket with some upsets, but mainly I'm just trying to get the games right. I'm optimizing for teams that I think are really good and can win the championship. I have those teams moving forward. This version of my bracket is very, very chalky. Now, the other one I have titled an upset bracket. There's a lot more upsets here. It is a mix of having a ton of upsets and being more of a sharp bracket. And so I do try to have a good mix there with this bracket, but this one definitely has a lot more upsets. And so I wanted to go through the bracket. And like I said in the intro, I'll talk about some basic strategy with your bracket, how you can make smarter picks for your bracket pool. I'll talk about some big upsets that I think could happen. I'll talk about a few teams that are a bit underrated that I think could actually go far in the tournament. And of course, I'll talk about a few teams that I believe have a legitimate shot at winning the championship. So let's go ahead and start by talking about basic strategy when filling out your bracket. There's a few things you have to keep in mind. There are a few big historic indicators of which teams are going to go far in the tournament and which teams can win it all. The first thing you have to know about the tournament is that one seeds usually have a lot of success. And of course, there are always a lot of upsets, but mainly the one seeds tend to do well. According to The Athletic, one seeds have won 63% of national championships since 1985, which is the year that the tournament field expanded to 64 teams. And when you add in how many 2 and 3 seeds that have won the national championship during this time, you'll see that 87% of the national champions over the last 40 years have been top 3 seeds. So if you want to accurately predict the national champion, you should probably pick a top 3 seed to win it all. Another way to accurately predict the national championship winner is to use KenPom's offensive and defensive efficiency metrics. If you don't know what KenPom is, this is a website created by a guy whose last name is KenPom. It's a very popular site among college basketball fans, and this site has offensive and defensive efficiency metrics for every team, adjusted for the strength of their opponents. Since 2002, all but 2 teams who have won the national championship ranked top 20 in KenPom's offensive and defensive efficiency metrics. Typically, only a handful of teams fit this criteria each season, but this is a really big indicator of who is likely to win the national championship each season. So this is something that I like to look at, and I think you should as well, especially if you're trying to accurately predict who is going to win the national title. Now, in terms of upsets, here's how you can predict which teams will defy expectations and beat their higher-seeded opponents. Now, first off, you probably shouldn't pick one or two seeds to lose in the first round. This has happened before. This has actually happened a few times over the last couple of years, but it's not very common. And picking these types of upsets will limit your ability to get the national champion correct. So be cautious if you're going to pick a one or two seed to lose within the first two rounds. That would be my advice. Now, according to NCAA.com, there are typically 8.5 upsets in the entire tournament, including around 5 in the first round alone. If you want to find good upset picks in the first round, specifically, a large portion of upsets are from number 11 seeds meeting number 6 seeds, and 12 seeds meeting 5 seeds. So those are those are where a lot of the upsets come from in the first round. And of course, you don't want to pick too many upsets, but you also don't want to pick too few upsets. You want to have a good balance, and being able to accurately predict upsets, that will give you some extra points and a little bit of a boost in your bracket pool if you're part of one. Let's see. Another thing to keep in mind is that generally at least one number two seed loses in the second round of the tournament each year. You don't want to be too aggressive picking really high seeds to lose early, like I mentioned earlier, but remember that it does happen fairly often, especially to two seeds specifically. So keep that in mind when you're filling out your bracket. Once again, these are tips that will help you fill out your brackets every year. Now we can focus on this year's bracket, and breaking down which teams, have a legitimate shot of winning the national championship, what are some potential upsets that we could see in the first round, and which underrated teams could potentially make a deep run this year. So let's go ahead and get into the bracket. Before I do that, I'm going to take a quick break, and I will be right back in just a second. Alright, I am back. Now we can talk about the first round and what we can expect in the first round of this year's NCAA tournament. The first thing I think is important to talk about is the play-in. Do the play-in games matter? And the thing is, they actually do. Now this year, the play-in games are different. Usually, you'll have two play-in games between two 16 seeds, and then two games between two 11 seeds. But this year, the play-in games are actually between 16 seeds and 10 seeds. So it includes 10 seeds rather than 11 seeds. So that's something that's a little bit different. The play-in games between the 16 seeds, they won't mean much for the tournament usually, but I think this year the play-in games between the 10 seeds matter a lot. And the reason why is because this year you have Boise State and Colorado playing in a play-in game, and the winner of that game will play Florida. And then you have, Virginia playing Colorado State, and the winner of that game will play Texas. And the reason why I think these games matter is because I think Colorado State has a legitimate shot at beating Texas, and I think both Boise State and Colorado could beat Florida. And so I actually have some empty spots in my brackets with these games because I think the result of the first round matchup between Florida and the winner of the play-in game and then Texas and the winner of that play-in game, I think the winner of those play-in games really matters a lot for that first round matchup. And so I'm waiting to see the results of those play-in games before I really make any decision with my bracket there. But those are my thoughts on the play-in games and why I think they actually really matter this year and could have some big implications for the first round, especially when it comes to those 10-7 matchups in the first round. Now let's talk about some upsets to watch out for in the first round. I don't think we're going to have a ton of upsets this year, but there are a few upsets to watch out for. And with this, I'll probably bring up my model and look at some numbers here. The first upset that I think could happen is Morehead State over Illinois. Now, I'm not saying that I think Illinois will lose to Morehead State. I do think Illinois is going to beat Morehead State, but this actually is a solid matchup for Morehead State. So let's go ahead and bring up the model here. My model gives Illinois around an 80% chance to win this game. And when you hear that, you're probably thinking, Ryan, like, why are you even bringing up this matchup? Well, Morehead State actually matches up fairly well with Illinois. They're a really good three-point shooting team. They're efficient. I think they can be more efficient in this matchup than Illinois. They're better at limiting turnovers. They're actually pretty similar in terms of their ability to grab offensive rebounds. The one area where Illinois really has the advantage over Morehead State is being able to generate free throws and getting to the charity stripe. But outside of that, Morehead State actually has a big advantage there. And I know these numbers that I'm looking at are raw numbers, and when you take into account the difference in their KenPom rankings, yeah, Illinois has a big advantage. But don't be surprised if Morehead State is able to upset Illinois, because I do think that this is a favorable matchup. But I will say that in my optimal bracket, which is more chalky, I do have Illinois beating Morehead State. I have a different result in my upset bracket. In my upset bracket, which has a lot more upsets, I actually do have Morehead State beating Illinois in round one. Now, let's look for another upset. I want to focus more on bigger upsets. There are a few smaller upsets that I have in my upset bracket that I'll mention later. But here, I really want to focus on the more major upsets. I think New Mexico is going to beat Clemson. And by seeding, this is an upset. But funny enough, I'm pretty sure that New Mexico is actually favored in this game. So by the betting lines, this actually isn't an upset, but New Mexico, in my model, they have above a 55% chance to win this game. They're a good team. They're really good according to KenPom. Their KenPom ranking is actually better than Clemson's, which is a big reason why my model has them favored in this game. Clemson is a little bit more efficient offensively, but New Mexico is way better at limiting turnovers. They're also really good at forcing turnovers. They're really good at grabbing offensive rebounds. Clemson does have an advantage when it comes to getting to the free throw line, but New Mexico, they're a little bit better at shooting threes. Clemson is also better at passing. But in general, I think this matchup favors New Mexico a little bit, and I think that they are going to win and get the 11-6 upset here in round one. Let's see, what else do I want to talk about here? The next upset I got to talk about is James Madison beating Wisconsin. I think this is going to be a really popular upset pick. I think a lot of brackets are going to have this upset, and in my opinion, they should. I think this is a very easy upset pick. My model gives James Madison anywhere from a 40 to a 45% chance to beat Wisconsin. Yes, my model does favor Wisconsin, but I think the chances of an upset are good enough here that you should pick James Madison to get those points in your bracket pool. James Madison, they're a good team, and this is a really favorable matchup for them. They're a good three-point shooting team. Their three-point defense is really good. They're also a little bit better than Wisconsin at limiting turnovers. They can grab offensive rebounds. They can hang in there with Wisconsin in that department. But Wisconsin does have the advantage in getting to the free throw line. But I think James Madison is so good at shooting and is so good at limiting their opponent's three-point shooting that they should, or that they can win this game. I don't want to be too confident here. I don't want to say that they should win, but they definitely can beat Wisconsin in this matchup, and I think this is one of the better upset picks in the first round. Let's go ahead and talk about, let's see, let's talk about two games that I think could end in an upset. I don't think that they will, but I think they could. Starting off with Gonzaga versus McNeese State. So let me bring up this game in my model. So my model likes Gonzaga in this matchup, but McNeese State actually kind of matches up fairly well here. It's kind of, this game reminds me of the Illinois-Morehead State matchup on the other side of the bracket. Here, Morehead State, they're really good at shooting. I think they're going to have an advantage there in this game over Gonzaga. Gonzaga is a little bit more efficient. Their true shooting percentage is a little bit higher. But McNeese State, they have the advantage in terms of turnovers. Gonzaga, they can grab a little bit some more offensive rebounds, and they have a slight advantage in getting to the free throw line. But McNeese State, they're good at shooting. I actually like Gonzaga in this matchup, me personally, but I do think the odds of an upset are high enough here that it's worth picking. But honestly, if I were you, I would actually pick Gonzaga in this game. And I think the next matchup I want to talk about has a little bit more upset potential than this one. And that is Gonzaga playing Samford. So let me go ahead and pull up that game in my model real quick. Shouldn't take too long. I've got it pulled up here. So my model does like Kansas in this game, but I think this is a better matchup for the underdog in this game than the Gonzaga-McNeese matchup. And the reason why I think this is because in this matchup, Samford, they're a better three-point shooting team by a fairly big margin. They also have the advantage in terms of offensive efficiency. They're better at limiting turnovers. The offensive rebounding is fairly similar. Kansas does have the advantage in getting to the free throw line, but I really like this matchup for Samford. And Samford is a solid team by KenPom's rankings, and so I don't think this is a team that's going to be too overmatched. The difference in each team's KenPom rankings is about 10 points, which is fairly significant. But I think Samford is good enough that they can beat Kansas. Now, in my optimal bracket, I did have Kansas moving on, but in my upset bracket, I had Samford beating Kansas, just like I had McNeese beating Gonzaga there. So this is an upset to watch that could happen. My model does favor Kansas here, largely because of their KenPom ranking. But like I said, this is a good matchup for Samford, and I wouldn't be shocked if they won this game. All right, let's see. Is there any other upset I wanted to mention and do a deep dive in or a deep dive on? I don't think so. I did want to mention some other upsets that I thought were worth talking about. Drake over Washington State. I think Drake's going to win that matchup. Let's see. Nevada could beat Dayton, but I had Dayton in both of my brackets there. Let's see. I think Michigan State is going to beat Mississippi State. Is there any other upset that I think could happen? I think NC State will be a fairly popular upset pick, but I actually really like Texas Tech here. I think they can move on to the Sweet 16, and I think they are going to beat NC State. I don't think there are any other upsets that I thought had a good chance of happening. I think those are all the ones that I wanted to talk about. Now we can talk a little bit about each region. Teams that I think are a little bit underrated that I think could go far. In the East region, one team that I think is a little bit underrated is Auburn. I think Auburn has a legitimate shot at winning the national championship, and I'll talk about that a little bit more later on in this episode. They're a really good team. They're great on both ends of the floor. They just got done winning the SEC championship. They're a great team. I know I'm an Auburn fan. I try to be objective, though, and I think a lot of people would agree with me when I say Auburn's really good. They're really freaking good, and I think they are a dangerous team. Another team in this region that I think is dangerous is BYU. They're really good at shooting the basketball. I think they could get hot and go on a run. I don't think they're going to make it past the Sweet 16. I do think that they can beat Illinois in the second round. I wouldn't be shocked if Illinois beats them as well, but I do think BYU has what it takes to beat Illinois in the second round to move on to the Sweet 16. They're a good team. Overall, this region is really good. I don't know what the committee was doing when they were putting together the bracket, because this region is so much better than all the other regions. And this is the region that has the number one overall one seed, UConn. And they got rewarded by having a really tough region. This is a very tough side of the bracket, and I really feel for UConn. But yeah, Auburn and BYU, those are teams I have my eye on. Iowa State is great as well. The only reason I didn't mention them a little bit more is because they're the two seed. Like, everyone knows they're great. But yeah, they're an awesome team. They're a team I think could not only make it to the Elite Eight, but also could make it into the Final Four if UConn were to get upset early. But yeah, Iowa State's awesome. In the West region, one team that I think is really underrated is St. Mary's. My model likes them a lot. My model thinks that they could possibly make it to the Final Four and thinks they could beat Alabama in the second round and even gives them a legitimate shot at beating North Carolina and Arizona. Now, I would pick Arizona to make it to the Final Four over St. Mary's, but St. Mary's is a team to watch. My model liked them a lot. My model also liked New Mexico's chances of potentially moving on to the Sweet 16. I think Arizona would beat them in the Sweet 16, but they're also a lower seed. They're actually a double-digit seed that I think could potentially go on a little run and make it to the Sweet 16. And then we can move on to the South. So in the South, I think Texas Tech is a really good team that could potentially go on a little bit of a run. I mentioned earlier that I thought they could potentially make it to the Sweet 16. James Madison, I think they're going to upset Wisconsin, but I just don't see them beating Duke. And I think Colorado could go on a little bit of a run, maybe even Boise State as well. But if Colorado is able to meet Boise State in the play-in, I think they could actually upset Marquette in the second round, and then give Texas Tech a run for their money to possibly make a run at the Elite Eight. So that is a play-in game that I have my eyes on, and I think you should keep your eyes on as well. Now we can move on talking about the Midwest region, some teams that I think can go on a deep run that are a little bit underrated. The one team that I think fits that category here is Creighton. They're a great three-point shooting team. They're good defensively as well. I think they're a team that could make it to the Final Four. It's a tough region though, because they got Tennessee and Purdue that they would have to also face more than likely if they were to make it to the Final Four. But they're a really good team that I think can get hot in the tournament and go on a deep run. Other than them, I don't think there's any other underrated team that I think will make it far in the tournament. Maybe Gonzaga gets a little bit hot, but I don't see them beating Purdue. And so, yeah, I think Creighton is like the one underrated team that I think can make a deep run in the tournament. Maybe Colorado State, if they're able to beat Virginia, can get hot. But I do think Tennessee would beat them in the second round, so yeah, those are all of the underrated teams that I think could exceed expectations and go on a little run in the tournament and kind of be a Cinderella in this year's NCAA tournament. I'm going to go ahead and take a break. When I get back, I'll talk about some teams that I think are legitimate championship contenders and a few teams who are really good and have very high seeds, but I don't think quite fit that bill. I'm going to take a break, and I will be right back in just a second. All right, I am back. Now we can close out this podcast by talking about a few teams that I think are legitimate championship contenders. I'll also talk about a few teams that I think are really, really good, but don't quite fit the bill as a championship contender. So let's start out with a few teams that I think have the statistical profile of past national champions. Earlier, I talked about how a lot of the national championship winners over the last, 20 years, how I have often ranked top 20 in KenPom's offensive and defensive efficiency. The teams that do that this year, and fit that mold this year, I believe, are Connecticut, UConn, Houston, Auburn, and Gonzaga. So four teams. You got UConn, Houston, Auburn, and Arizona. I think those are all the teams that rank top 20 in offensive and defensive efficiency, according to KenPom. Now, there are teams that rank just outside of this, that just miss out on that, and that's Purdue. There's another team that I saw earlier that ranked just outside. Creighton, which is another team that I mentioned earlier, a team that I like. And then you've got, is there any more? I don't think there's any more. Actually, there is. Marquette, And I think that's it. North Carolina also is a little bit outside of the threshold for offensive efficiency, and I'm pretty sure that's it. Maybe you can count Tennessee, though they do rank 29th. That might be pushing it a little bit. But yeah, so the few teams that rank just outside the threshold are like Tennessee, North Carolina, Marquette, and Creighton. Also Purdue, forgot to mention them. Almost forgot to mention them. So yeah, those are all the teams that I think are legitimate championship contenders and teams that I think just fall outside of that label. But yeah, I think if I were to pick a team to win the national championship this year, I think I would go Connecticut. I think UConn's just really good. It will be UConn or Houston, and I know that's basic. I know that's chalky, but like, who else are you going to pick? I mean, those teams are awesome. They're both incredible. They're 1-2 in the KenPom rankings. I think UConn is number 1 in the KenPom rankings. Houston's number 2. And if you use the like simple rating system on Basketball Reference, I think Houston's number 1 in that, and UConn is number 2. Those teams are awesome, and I think they should win the national championship. If those teams don't, the team that I think would win is either Auburn or Arizona. I mean, because those are the two teams that fit the criteria that past championship winners have in ranking top 20 in offensive and defensive efficiency. I wouldn't sleep on Purdue. I know everyone hates Purdue, and I get it, and I understand why, but come on. This is a new season. This team's really good. I know they keep wetting the bed in the tournament, losing to 15 and 16 seeds, but I swear, trust me, bro, this team is good. I promise, they're a good team. I think they're going to put up a good fight in the tournament. I think they can make it to not only the Elite Eight, but also the Final Four. Would they be able to beat Houston? I'd bet against it, but they are a good team. Like I mentioned earlier, I think Creighton and Tennessee are really good as well. They can make a run to the Final Four, and I wouldn't be shocked. But if I were to pick a national championship winner, it would be UConn or Houston. But I'm going to stick with my guns and go with UConn winning back-to-back. Let's see, is there anything else I wanted to mention? I guess I could talk about one thing before I go, a few high seeds that I think could lose early. A, North Carolina. I think North Carolina has some sneaky tough matchups early. I think they will face Michigan State in the second round. That could be a difficult matchup. I also think St. Mary's is a tough matchup, and I wouldn't be surprised if St. Mary's upsets them. Another team that's ranked, that has a really high seed that I think could lose early is Marquette. Marquette, I think they will have a tough matchup in the second round. Whether it be Florida, Boise State, or Colorado, I think all of those teams would be somewhat difficult matchups for them. And I really think that Colorado could potentially upset them if they're able to beat Boise State in the play-in game. But those are two really high-seeded teams that I think could lose early, not because they're bad, but simply because they have tough matchups early on in the tournament. That's pretty much all I wanted to talk about. I guess I could give you my Final Four on both my brackets. For my optimal bracket, which is the more chalky one, my Final Four is UConn, Houston, Arizona, and Purdue, with UConn and Houston playing in the championship, UConn winning. In my upset bracket, my Final Four is UConn, Houston, St. Mary's, and Creighton, with UConn and Houston playing in the national championship, and Houston beating UConn for the national championship. Those are my thoughts on the tournament this year. Those are my thoughts on the bracket. I hope that was valuable information. I hope that helps you a lot. I hope you got a lot out of that episode. If you have any thoughts, any questions, hit me up on Twitter at TheRyanMcCrary. I'm on Twitter a lot, so you can hit me up there if you have any thoughts or questions. That's it for this episode. I thought it was great. I really enjoyed it, and I can't wait for March Madness to kick off. I believe this episode will be out on Tuesday, so I can't wait for the play-in games to kick off tonight, and I'm excited for March Madness. Well, that's all we have for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I did, and I will see y'all next time. Peace.